Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "The teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, so you must be careful to do everything they tell you. But do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. They tie up heavy, cumbersome loads and put them on other people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. Everything they do is done for people to see. They make their phylacteries wide and the tassels on their garments long. They love the place of honor at banquets and the most important seats in the synagogues. They love to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to be called rabbi by others. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher, and you are all brothers and sisters. And do not call anyone on earth father, for you have one father, and he is in heaven. Nor are you to be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Messiah. The greatest among you will be your servant. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." Thank you, God, for your word to us. Yeah. This is very difficult for a pastor to do, to talk about hypocrisy. And it isn't because I would be such a huge hypocrite, but if I'm not careful when I talk about, you know, we get into what God's word says, and I say, you know, something about hypocrisy and what we need to do differently, or how God may be shaping us and guiding us to move away from hypocrisy, or how to deal with it. The danger is that I'm hypocritical, you know? It really is a danger. And in some respects, I'm already hypocritical, and, you know, I wear this fancy robe with the beautiful, you know, thank you, yes. And so, you know, it's I'm really set up for failure here, okay? I know that at the start, so I just want to ask for your grace with me, and let's get through this together. So, hypocrisy. I want to share three things this morning about that may help us through this problem, destructive as it is, of hypocrisy. And the first is an apology. And the second is a caution. And the third is an encouragement. So let's start with the apology. First let me describe what hypocrisy is so we know what we're apologizing for, okay? So hypocrisy is saying that you believe, or is claiming that what you believe, what your attitude is, or how you feel, and yet that's not really true. So in other words, I could say, you know, I love you, but if it isn't true, then I'm a hypocrite. Does that make sense? Or if I say I believe that it's going to freeze outside today, but I know inside my head it's not true, I'm being hypocritical. All right? So that's the hypocrite piece. And it plays out in a lot of different ways. And one way it plays out is we exaggerate. You know, I went fishing the other day, and you know the rest of that story, okay? And in fairness, we recently were talking about hunters and fishers this week. So I want to say, you know, I went hunting the other day. Could happen there too. I caught something, you know, bigger than a semi-truck could lift up. And I'm being hypocritical because I'm exaggerating. All right? Second way of being a hypocrite is that we say something and it's simply not true. Now, I'm like, you know, in the first case, I caught a fish, yeah, but it wasn't, you know, this big. It was only this big. And the second way of being hypocritical is I didn't even go fishing. But I tell you I went fishing, right? Now, so I think that I owe it to each of us here and to just those of you who may be curious about things. If you're a guest with us, you wonder, so who are these guys? Can I trust them? Are they going to do what they say they do? Do they believe what they say they believe? When they profess their faith and they are baptized, are they really in faith? Are they actually on a journey of grace or not? And that's a fair question. In fact, it's a question that causes a lot of people to stay away. One of the destructiveness of hypocrisy is huge. When I practice hypocrisy, when I'm hypocritical, I can cause people to go astray, to go away, and to stay away. And it's dangerous. It's a cancer on the body of Christ. So I want to apologize for all of those times that the church, and I'm talking now just in general, that the church, and you've run into Christians somewhere on the street, and they've not been living up to what they say they believe. On behalf of them, as pastor, as much as I can speak on their behalf, I want to say I'm sorry. I'm deeply sorry that you've encountered someone who's caused you to think less, maybe of God, maybe of them, and maybe of their church, and maybe of yourself. And I'm sorry. And I'm asking for your forgiveness on behalf of the church. So the second thing is a word of caution. And the caution is, let me share a story. All right, there's a pastor and a musician and a janitor. And it's Ash Wednesday. This is a day that comes 40 days before Easter. And it's the start of a sort of a run-up into Easter, 40 days before. It's a day where the pastor and this pastor, you know, went through the process with those of the congregation, putting a mark of a cross with ashes on the foreheads of everyone. So after this was done, the pastor stood up and said, "I am nothing. I am nothing. I am nothing," and beating on his chest. The musician stood up next to the pastor and in a beautiful cantation of voice that I can't replicate said, "I am nothing, I am nothing, I am nothing." Then the janitor came up and said, it's a Christian janitor, I am nothing, I am nothing, I am nothing. And the pastor turned to the musician and said, "Look who's saying he's nothing." You see the hypocritical piece in there? When we can even boast of being humble. Look who says he's humble. And so it's something we got to take a lot of care with. Because if any one of us causes one soul to go astray, one soul to stay away, or one soul to go away, we've caused hurt in a deep, deep way. In fact, when we behave in this way, we're contradicting the gift we have at baptism. That says that we are saved by grace through faith. That says that we're not relying on what we do, but what on God does. And when we are hypocritical, we're behaving in a way that says, I don't trust God. I don't rely on God as my leader. He's not my leader. I don't rely on him. I say I have faith, but I really don't. And we cause someone to go astray. We cause someone to stay away. And we cause someone to go away. Now, here's the good news. All right? The good news is that God loved you. God loves you. Loves you. Loves you. Loves you. And God never wants to condemn you or to judge you. But wants to embrace you, to love you, and accepts you just as you are, as you say yes to God's gift. And so the good news for someone who has behaved in a way that's hypocritical, who's caused someone to go astray, or to stay away, or to go away, is this. God says, I welcome you back. And Jeremiah says, I welcome you back with open arms. Come back and believe and rely on me and not on you. And then the next thing is to ask God, God, forgive me. And then second is to go to the person who you've caused to go astray or to stay away or to go away and say, I'm sorry. I haven't been who God wants me to be. But you know what? I've shifted because of God. And I now know that though I've hurt you, he has the power to bring us back together again, to heal me and to encourage you. And so we got to go to the other person and ask for their forgiveness. And it's not a strength. It's not something you boasting and saying, I'm going to do this. I'll show them. Like the pastor and the musician saying, I'm nothing, I'm nothing, I'm nothing. But really, I'm everything, I'm everything, I'm everything. It's God's power. And here's the other caution. And that is that when we're hurting, we want the power of God. We want the healing of God. We want the real stuff of who God is. And that brings us to the third thing, a word of encouragement. You see, because there's something that some call hypocrisy, but isn't. And it goes like this. It's when you're down in the dumps, you're hurting, you're grieving, you're in pain, you're suffering, you're wondering and you're questioning. And you're saying, why did this happen? Oh God, why? Why should I believe in you when my son is no longer with me? Why should I believe in you when my spouse left me? Why should I believe in you when all chaos is breaking loose around me? Why? Should I? And this is not hypocrisy. It's beautiful. It's beautiful to ask and explore and to search and to seek and to say, God, I don't understand it. And like this one who many years ago, we called him Doubting Thomas. But really, his name is Questioning Thomas. And he has great faith. Because though He was at a time of great grief in the valley of the shadow of death because the Savior had died. He had faith to ask, Lord, show me the holes in your hand and in your side. I doubt, but show me. So I want to encourage you to question. If you're in a dry spell, is keep on keeping on. You're not a hypocrite. No, you're someone of great faith. And the day will come when the Lord says, not, you hypocrite, but well done, you questioning one, who stayed on the journey, who held to the path, who sought out the good of others even when you couldn't feel it yourself, and enter into the joy of my kingdom. I don't want to invite the ushers, the elders here forward. If you could come forward now, we'll prepare for communion.